Proudly presented by Provident Payments, this is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes and our captivating conversation today with 100-year-old Dorothy Jones of Fresno, California, originally from Rock Hill, South Carolina. Nearly 80 years ago now, she became one of the first American women to volunteer for Navy service in World War II.
How were you treated as a woman around all these men? Because 16 million Americans in the armed forces, but only 300,000 of them were women. And
that
you
was
were
great.
One of the first. Good that, odds or what?
That was super. Yeah. I was not a particularly attractive girl. You wouldn't believe it now. And I had a rather slow coming to grips with dating and going out and even before the war with this stuff. Mm-hmm. But boy, you're suddenly in war, you're surrounded by guys, and they adored us because they weren't accustomed to women being in the same mess hall. Of course, you didn't share any kind of barracks or that sort of thing. They were very, very separated. And we honored that, and so did the boys. The boys were great. And when they finally, after I was made a recruiter, which was a fun job, mm-hmm. because you drove all over from Atlanta up to Charlotte, across to Knoxville, Tennessee, and it was great. And Charleston, South Carolina, which is my favorite town in the whole world.
Is it?
That is the greatest. And someday when I grow up and take over my own life again, I'm going to live in Charleston, right there. It's a lovely town. And so I did that until another little notice came out in our own directives, saying that women who are interested in applying for transfer to Hawaii. Now, at that time, Hawaii was not a state. Mm-hmm. It was a territory. And when this little notice appeared, I'm a great one for reading things in the newspaper and going after them. So there's women who were interested in applying for duty in Hawaii. And I did indeed apply for the Hawaiian thing. And then I was sent out here for the necessary training again to go there and get the certain shots that were inoculations to keep us healthy.
So you finally got to see California, which you
dreamed
about.
I spent not as much of it as I planned to or wanted to. Yeah, I did get my desire to come to California. And of course, our traveling was done on trains or buses because they were not flying people all over like they do today. Mm-hmm. You were strictly on a train, and for the first time, I slept on a sleeper in a Pullman train. And that was an experience in itself, you know. So whatever comes along new brings its own different experiences, and you learn to take advantage of them. So I loved it. And then to Hawaii, and of course, that's next thing to going to heaven or to Charleston, South Carolina. it's a nice place to be. Mm-hmm. And I was stationed down on the big island of Hawaii.
And what were you doing there?
I was the secretary. By this time, I'd done enough office work that I was quite proficient in what I was doing. And I was secretary to the OD, the officer of the day. My office was right where you'd come into the administrative office's doors, and everybody had to check by and look at their little ID and be sure they were all right, not our enemies. And that was fun. And I met the nicest people in the world, mm-hmm. both in the Navy training, the girls, the women that were in there, because we had eliminated all those that we were told this is during the recruiting thing. If somebody applies and you talk to them and you give them the test and you check their credentials and all that, if it's somebody you would not like or enjoy being stationed with or being roomed with or whatever, there's lots of ways they can be eliminated. And I must say I did put some of them on my own elimination, because if there's somebody you don't want to spend 24 hours a day with and mm-hmm. you can get them off your list, you do it. And I did. Got away from that small town of Rock Hill, which was a nice little town. I'm not putting it down. Mm-hmm. But to room with people, one of my roommates was from Lake of the Woods, Minnesota. And she was such a nice gal. And we learned from each other. We learned what our own backgrounds had been and where we'll meet later after the war, because we didn't know how long that war was going to go on. As soon as the European war and then the Japanese war was finished, the government started trying to get their people home because that was expensive. And in no time at all, I was on the train going back to Rock Hill, South Carolina. And I worked for the VA there. We were just opening a Veterans Administration office in Rock Hill. And boy, that's when we learned what some of the veterans had gone through. It wasn't all peaches and cream for some of them, because they would come into our VA office and we helped where we could there with whatever their problems were, whether they were medical or insurance-wise or educational-wise. There were tons and tons of opportunities for veterans right after the war. And there still are, really.
I was just thinking about what you said earlier about your mother had so many stars in the window, you could barely see through the window. And one of those was for you. And I'm wondering if you got a sense for how she felt about that. Because everybody's sons were going off to war. But to have her daughter, you know, what, 5,000 miles away in Hawaii from South Carolina, how did she feel about that?
Well, I know, especially from talking to her afterwards, that she would have preferred that I stay at home and keep my little job going at the printing and finishing company where we were taking care of cloth made out of cotton that was grown right there. She took a rather dim view at first because she didn't know exactly what I was going into, and I didn't either. But she had a certain amount of daring do about her, too, and she accepted what came along. Yeah, she was pretty proud of all her in-service family.
You know, you mentioned that when you got home and you worked at the VA that you really saw what some of the guys had gone through. But I'm wondering, in those years, while the war's going on and you're in uniform, what was your perspective about what you were doing and why it mattered? Maybe the significance of the work that you were doing.
Well, we did realize that we were an important part of the overall picture, because as more and more women did come into the military, we realized that we were there primarily to release, and this was true, to release a man for duties that we could not perform and would not be asked to. That's why when I look at the women going into the military now, I wonder what their object is and where they came from and where they're going. I did spend some time down at Lemoore Naval Air Base here when my husband was still with us, and I would see more and more girls going into. And some of the things, we were very particular about the length of our hair. And my goodness, we had to walk around the room a dozen times so they could check, the ones in charge could check the length of our skirts. At that time, we were not wearing slacks, and like I'm wearing today, slacks and pants. We were strictly in those uniforms, and they had to be the same distance from the floor. They measured right up, and if they were too long, another fourth of an inch would do it, you know. And it was such a difference. And I see the girls down there now, and they've got a pin to hold their hair up off their neck. But no, we were very, well, they were the first group. That's the first group that had done that. So we marched a pretty straight line, as you say.
Have you had a chance, you know, in those years since, to interact with women who have served in our armed forces since you and gotten a picture for the trail that you all blazed?
Yep.
And what that means to women in the military today?
It just happens I have a niece, a great niece, who went into the military when she could. And I'm afraid I was the reason for it. She always had a great deal of respect and honor when she was a little girl, and I was a big girl. And then she did indeed, when she finished school, she went into the Army. And she has stayed in there, and she has stripes up and down her arms. She's a chief master sergeant. While I was in, I got acquainted with a lot of great guys, really great guys, and had a couple of near misses here and there, you know. But when I came out, he was my boss. He was manager of the VA office in Stockton. And I came out with the idea of going on to Japan and being there for the, what do you call it, when you re
The occupation?
Yes, that. And that she and I had that in mind because we had had a good time in the military. But then I met him and she met somebody. And Shannon and I then were married and started raising a family instead of my going on to Japan. Mm. And thank goodness we did. Because we and Shannon was working for his doctorate at Stanford at the time I met him. Of course, he had been a commander in the Navy. And I was a yeoman. I was a typist.
Well, tell me the story of how you and Shannon met. I mean, you said there had been a few near misses during the war, so you'd met plenty of good guys. But what was it about him?
Well, as I said, I was thinking I was going on to Japan, maybe. And that's why I came out after the war was over and I was back home working for the VA. And the girl who was my roommate in from Stockton, she and I were corresponding crazy like crazy. And we thought it would be fun then because we had so much fun in the Navy and meeting all those wonderful people that maybe it would be fun to go on and live in Japan for a while and work there and help them get back on their feet. Ho, ho, ho. So when I came out to apply for the transfer for my job with the Veterans Administration, from South Carolina out here to Stockton. The handsome man across the desk from me, I noticed, didn't have on a wedding ring. And he was a little older than I, but not much. Well, his desk where he was running the office from was maybe 30 feet from my desk where I was typing, and I was assigned to the medical department and keeping records of some of these guys who had come back with medical problems. And that's why then we decided we both liked to play tennis. We didn't think the people in the office knew we were doing this because he was manager of the office and I was a lowly typist. We liked to play tennis and we liked Chinese food and we attended the same church and that was good. His folks lived here in Fresno and we were right there in Stockton. So all the points seemed to be going in the right direction. And I met him when I came out in August. And at Christmas time, we were getting a little bit past the hand-holding stage. And then we were married in March. Strike while the iron is hot. I think that's a...
That's your advice, huh?
That's my advice.
You mentioned typing up the medical conditions of some of these veterans. Mm-hmm. Was that eye-opening for you? Were there some things that you'd have to type about that really got to you emotionally?
Yes, it did. And so many of them. I was not a trained psychologist. I didn't know what anything to do with the mental condition. But just being there and taking their story down, I learned that a lot of people who had apparently gone into the military with everything intact came back with mental problems. But then we're working primarily with male veterans. It was a rare thing a woman veteran would, because heck, we went home, got married, and started raising children, and the war was finished, and we were back in our normal way of life by mm-hmm. that time.
And speaking of the war ending, you mentioned, you know, you were in Hilo when mm-hmm. the war ended.
Yeah.
Was that cause for celebration? Was there a big reaction to that news?
Oh, golly. Oh, yes. Of course, we hadn't been in any danger out there for some time. And we had our little social life. There was dances on the base, and a girl who had been a professional musician sang at these things. When that came across on the news, it caused a lot of hooray, hooray, we're going home type of thing. Because mm-hmm. when people have been away from home, even a little town like Rock Hill, South Carolina, it's good to go back home and find that things are like you left them and maybe you had something to do with it or maybe you didn't. And most of the kids that were my age when I left had gotten married and, my gosh, had started families and all that sort of thing. And that's when I made the decision to further it by going on further with some kind of interesting life and meeting Shannon and deciding to get married and be a normal human being again.
Time for another break, but we're not done yet with 100-year-old Dorothy Jones. We still have to hear how she met Eleanor Roosevelt and what kind of impression the First Lady made on her. Hometown Heroes will be right back after this.
Do you ever have those moments where you realize you've been settling for less than the best for far too long? Sometimes we just accept the status quo without looking around for better ways to do things. And I've got to tell you, when it comes to your money, I believe I found a better way with EECU. Take a look at myeecu.com. eecu.org, and you'll see why. EECU is not a bank. It's a nonprofit credit union that's all about taking care of you, the member. That's one of the reasons EECU just keeps growing and growing. Close to 300,000 members now in 10 different California counties. Over 30,000 ATMs, free mobile banking. And what I really love is how EECU always goes above and beyond to serve the community. In 2013, the leadership and generosity of EECU helped establish Central Valley Honor Flight. More than 1,000 veterans now have gotten to see their memorials in Washington, D.C. for free. And that's just one example of the community involvement EECU takes oh so seriously. Pick up the phone and become a member today. 1-800-538-3328. That's 800-538-3328.